Coming up on today's show,
be willing to learn. All right. Be willing to take criticism and just genuinely be authentic. There's nothing worse than showing up cocky and unmanageable.
Welcome to another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment, featuring interviews with guests who are having success in entertainment, primarily music. I am Bruce Wozniak, proud member of the Recording Academy, talking to guests who are singers, songwriters, musicians, recording artists, and more from the worldwide music community. Get in touch with me by writing to podcast@nhte.net, or instead of email, you can DM me through the @NowHearThisEntertainment Instagram account. Joining me today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from Nashville, my guest is a singer, songwriter, guitar player who just released a new single last month after having put out a new track the month before, and a third at the start of this year, on New Year's Day. He has been working with a producer that has won multiple Grammy Awards and received numerous Grammy nominations. In addition, my guest had a notable music mentor that we will hear about today. His music background even includes a stint with his then band on the VH1 Save the Music tour. He has more new music on the way, as we will discuss during this episode. You have been hearing a song of his called Long Hard Day. Welcome to Now Hear This Entertainment, Jeffrey Kunzel.
Hello.
Jeffrey, thank you so much for making time to talk with me today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
You bet.
It's really exciting. Yeah.
Let's get started by having you share first all about the song of yours that was just playing called Long Hard Day.
I originally wrote that track back when, I think like 2018, I wrote it, and it was an acoustic track. It's kind of based on like the struggles, right? And what everybody was going through 2018, 2019, 2020, and just trying to strip it down to bare roots. And everybody has a long, hard day, right? You get lost in the dramatics of the world, and you know, people go through different things in life, and they suffer, and they have strife and grief, and it's kind of bringing it back to grassroots and just identifying the problems, and there's hope at the end of the tunnel, right? So I think that encompasses the track in itself.
And did you write that song by yourself, or was it a co-write?
No, I did. I wrote that song by myself.
So I'm always curious when a guest will come on the show and have a story like you're telling, which is that this song was released this year, and yet you just told us that it was written, you know, something like maybe 8 years ago. So I'm always fascinated to hear guests talk about songs that they've just released that they did write quite some time ago. So tell us about the reason why the song was written so long ago, and yet it's only being released now.
I would say every song has a time. Every song has a time to be released. And this era in my life is the time for me to release music. So I've been writing my whole life. And that song in particular, when I wrote it, I loved it from day one.
Right.
But I didn't have the resources back then to get it to recording quality that I wanted and really articulate the sound I was looking for, or working, you know, with the right producer at the time to help me reach that goal. That's one of the reasons why my music is all coming out now, because of, you know, the circumstances I'm working within these days.
Yeah. And it sounds like when you wrote that song, you knew, when I am ready, this is absolutely one of the songs that I'm definitely going to be releasing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I had gotten really good feedback just releasing the acoustic track on my social media. So people were reaching out like, you have to release this song. I want to help you. I want to help you, you know, push it, this and that. And I hadn't even recorded this version of it yet.
Wow.
It was just an acoustic track. It was just lyrically sound, and people they resonated with it, right? Wow. It's one of those songs that, you know, everybody can identify with. So that's one of the reasons.
Yeah, that has to be so rewarding for you, because a songwriter can feel really strongly about a song and think that it's fantastic, but all of a sudden you put it into the court of public opinion and here's everyone just loving the acoustic version and telling you, oh my gosh, you have to produce and release this track. And you go, yeah, I thought so. I knew it wasn't just me.
Yeah, it's great to get good feedback, you know. And then you got those moments too where you write material and you put it out there, feelers out there, and it doesn't, you know, you get crickets and people they don't even comment on it, and it's one of those situations where it's like, oh man, maybe I need to go back to the drawing board on that one. So sometimes the writer feels it, and always will feel a song completely different than somebody else interprets it, but you know, that's part of the journey too. That's part of honing your craft and fine tuning, you know, everything you need to do to release a successful song.
Nicely said. Nicely said. We're off to a good start here. Let's start into your story by having you share about your upbringing, including, as I alluded to in the intro, the music mentor you grew up with.
Yeah. My stepfather. Yeah. Jack Klyman. Yeah, so he was in a band called the White Horse Band back in the 80s, and they did a lot of touring, and they opened up for Tanya Tucker, and I was always encompassed with music. So we weren't wealthy growing up, so we lived in a trailer and in Stony Point, New York. And what I always remember though about that home was it was exciting, it was happy, and there was always a room that was filled with music equipment. Mm. There was always 15 guitars, basses, PV, PA systems, and just huge gear, because back then, you know, everything was humongous. every piece of equipment was just ginormous. So we had half stacks, but there was always a dedicated room in a small trailer where we lived that was filled. Actually, we built an addition off that trailer, like a front room, and had a fireplace, and all that gear, like as soon as you walked onto that porch area that was enclosed, was just sitting there. And it was the coolest thing for me. You know, when I was a little kid, I didn't really grasp what it was, but as I got older and, you know, I started taking an interest, you know, in picking up the guitars, I remember just going through the cases and feeling, you know, the fabric that the guitar is laid in. And it was, you know, it was the coolest thing for me to pick up one of those instruments, and just like, that was my world. I knew back then that this was going to be a part of my life, and there was no changing it. There was no distraction. So, when I was gifted my first acoustic, I think I was like 9 or 10 years old, and I did not know how to play it, but, Jack, he taught me, 3 chords, and I just played those 3 chords. And when I think I was not even a teenager, I was writing my first material. And, you know, some of my old school buddies, like the guys I grew up with, they'll still quote lines from those songs way back when. And I'm like, wow. I'm like, I've come, you know, leaps and bounds. Right. So that was the beginning. So when I was in my early teens, I had a family that lived in Atlanta, Georgia, and I would go there for months at a time and just hang out, some of my favorite people. And it was time for me. I had all these songs, right? So I think I had like 6 songs, and I needed to record. So I can't remember the name of the studio back then, but there was a studio in Atlanta, and this guy was charging a couple $100 to do demo work. And I was in my early years in high school, and I had the summer off. So I went to this guy's studio, and it was a sweat box, and it was a well put together studio. But when this guy played every instrument, and I went in there with my acoustic, and I just started, you know, playing my songs. I wasn't playing to a click track. It was a struggle, but we got it done. And I took that material back home with me, and that was my my first release material. And I brought it back to school with me, and I think I was, you know, and like I said, like 15, 16 years old. And they started playing it they started playing my songs at this school plays. They would use my material
so
in the
cool.
school plays. Yeah, which it was cool. And I remember sitting in the crowd and sitting in the seats, and one of my schoolmates was sitting next to me, and they start playing my song. I think it was a song called Twisted Roads at the time, and it was coming over the loudspeaker, and the auditorium was full of people, and the whole high school was in there. And he's like, he just had this face. He's like, "Who is this?" Like, nobody had ever heard these songs before. Mm. And I looked at him, and I was like, "Yeah, this is my new demo." And he's like, "Oh man, that's crazy cool." You know, so that's a part of my young journey. But yeah, I don't know. I'm getting excited talking about that. I don't normally think about stuff like this. You're bringing out some really cool feelings. And
so, how did everything that you just described turn into you playing with a band and the band ending up on the VH1 Save the Music Tour? As I understand it, you're about to give me an answer that is going to include the fact that you were still young when all that was happening, that band and that tour.
Yeah. I think I was in my early 20s. Could have been my late teens, but we had a band called Fallen Innocence. That was my first like real band. And I had gone through a few bands from, you know, me recording that demo to the evolution, and it was a hard rock band. And we were playing a lot locally, and we were getting some significant buzz. You know, we were in the garage practicing probably, you know, 3 days a week, and we were doing a lot of local venues, and we were doing the New York City circuit, and we were playing all the underground clubs, and we caught some buzz, and we ended up getting a manager who wanted to jump on board and help us out. And the VH1 Save the Music, somebody had reached out to us, and it's so long ago that I just can't remember, but we ended up on that tour with some, at least one really notable act, and they got picked up off that tour. And it was a great experience. I mean, we were playing the Hard Rock in Baltimore, you know, CBGB's. We were playing some cool venues, and it was some great camaraderie out there on the road with some really good musicians, talented people. Yeah.
So cool.
That was a great experience, and it was great exposure. And you know what the coolest part about that, now that pops into my mind, back then there was digital streaming was like just kind of like on the rise, right? So we always had CDs. So CDs were circulating, and we didn't have any idea. So when we came from Rockland, New York, and we ended up playing a show in Baltimore, somebody had come up to me, and I think they wanted an autograph or something like that, and then they had our CD, which I was flabbergasted. I was like, how did my work get from New York to Baltimore? And to this, because there was no real explanation. I was like, this is so cool, you know? And that's that organic part of the industry where, you know, you don't really know who you're affecting or how widespread your music is getting. But yeah, so after we did the VH1 Save the One Music, we had gotten an email from Amsterdam, and there was a radio station in Amsterdam that emailed us and said, we want you to come here. And we dedicate an entire week to your band.
What?
I was like, what? He's like, we dedicated an entire week of just plugging your band, and we want you guys to come here and tour. The downside after that happened, so this was a little bit later on, after that happened, the struggles of trying to be in a band with five dudes that were all growing up together. And these guys were getting older, and they're having their separate lives, because we played together for quite some time. And we started getting in arguments, and guys were leaving the band. So we never got on the plane.
Mm.
We said we would do it, and we soon after ended up breaking up.
Oh, man.
And I went through different musicians. I went through like three or four different guitar players, a few bass players. Mm. And then finally I got to the point where I had a young family at the time also, but I just can't balance it. You know, I can't try to hold guys accountable, and we're trying to, one of those moments where it was like, all right, well, maybe this isn't, isn't what I thought it was going to be, but it was such an amazing experience to have under my belt.
Yeah, it sounds like. And so you mentioned originally being from New York. You mentioned touring down to Baltimore and this offer from Amsterdam. But I said that you were calling in from Nashville. So how did you get there? As well as how did you get introduced to the Grammy Award-winning producer that I mentioned in the intro?
Okay. So while I've been working on my songwriting, I was recording demos locally with my guitar player, and he had a home studio, and we were banging out all these demos, and they were like crossover rock country tracks at the time. Now, right down the road from me, I did not know this, I had a buddy who owned a bar, and he's like, listen, I know this guy, and he owns this and that around town, but he also invests in writers and artists. And he's like, would you mind giving me your demo and I'll pass it off to him and see what he says. So I ended up doing that, and he got back to me almost immediately. I think it was like a couple of days later I got a phone call, and then this person wanted to meet up. And what ended up happening was he ultimately didn't invest large amounts of money but what he did was he opened up a network of people for me that he was working with that had a lot of success happening, but he opened that door for me. So I stepped through it, and I got on the phone and I started talking to various different managers and writers in Nashville. And I started shaking hands with these people, and kind of like in the middle of all that, you had Skid Mills, who was producing all these bands that, you know, were on the rise, and the productions sounded amazing. So I messaged Skid, I think back in 2019 on Facebook, and I sent him a demo of a song, just me playing acoustic, and he got back to me right away. And he was like, it just happened to turn out that he worked with all those same people that I went out and I met for the first time. Yeah, so he was in that direct network, and Skid took a liking to my songwriting and what I'm doing to this day. That was some time ago, 6 years ago, and we still work together now. I'm actually headed to record 3 more new tracks, and we're just releasing now. Now we're at the stage where it's time to go. Wow. So yeah, he's fantastic. Like, I will give him my song acoustic, full on acoustic, and I'll have this idea in my mind of how I think it should sound, and then I'll give it to him, and then, you know, he'll send me back this version that just blows me away, like completely like class A producer, right? He sends me everything. It's polished. It sounds amazing. And I'm like, I didn't think of any of that, but I, you know, he loves the song. It just goes to show you, like, especially when writers plug songs and they give it to all these different artists or producers, or they're shopping them, the way they could, you know, change the dynamics of the song and cut it up and make it to their own. And it's just such a cool world to be involved in.
Yeah, no doubt. And audience, for those of you that are not familiar with Skid Mills, look him up. 20 years ago, he started a production company, and the first act that he signed was Saving Abel. And when they released their first CD, you know, it just happened to be certified gold. So he's got quite the resume. You know, this is a big hitter that Jeffrey's working with, for sure.
Absolutely, yeah, and it's always an awesome experience. And he's got such an awesome studio now. He's got his own studio, and it's amazing, and it's got such a great vibe to it. So you're super comfortable when you go in there, even if you got some nerves going, and you just settle into it, and magic just comes out, man. And everything he touches just sounds incredible.
Audience, earlier this month, I was in Quincy, Illinois for the Inklight Festival, having done a presentation there on how to partner with a publicist. Hopefully you are subscribed to the weekly e-newsletter and or are following on social media and saw some of what I put up from that, a TikTok that I made of getting there, plus a photo of my speaking that is posted on the @NowHearThisEntertainment Instagram account. In fact, a week before that, I was in Miami for a members-only event for the Florida chapter of the Recording Academy. Content from there was also shared in the weekly newsletter as well as on social media. Anyhow, I am about to book my next trip, so I will be sharing those details really soon. I say all this because I would love to meet listeners of this show somewhere out on the road so that I can say a personal face-to-face thank you for the time you give to Now Hear This Entertainment each week. I know that life gets busy. Heck, I know that there are a lot of other podcasts out there. So it means a lot that you devote sometimes an hour to listening to this show. If you see that I am going to be somewhere that you will be also, get in touch so we can meet. Jeffrey, let's get into your songwriting process. Tell us about how you create your music.
There's no standard process for me. I'll give you a case in point. Some of the new songs that I've just written, one in particular, woke me up at like 3:30 in the morning, something like that. And I sprung out of bed and I had these words. And now this song is like super personal to me. And it's about my upbringing. It's about, you know, the life experience and stuff like that. It's one of those songs that really hits home for me. But I immediately got my cell phone out. I grabbed my acoustic and I just started. I got the melody right. I heard the melody in my head and then I didn't have the chords. So then I got working with the guitar and I'm like, that's it. That's the sound. And I think that song took me maybe even only a couple days to write. It just was such a natural flow. Mm. It's not always like that. Sometimes I'll write a hook and I'll sit on it for months, years. I'll have a block with it. But I don't forget it. Technology is so good these days. We all have these amazing cell phones that you can just press play, print your idea, and come back to it when you need to, you know, finish it up. So there's no, it's really whatever downloads I get from the universe at the time. I just kind of run with it. They're not always on acoustic. You know, sometimes if I'm have an electric available and I need some more, you know, tones or crunch, if I'm going to write a harder rock song or anything like that, it's just, it's different altogether. I may be, you know, watching TV and something catches me or I'm like, oh man, that's a great idea for a song, you know, and then I'll just turn it off and grab the acoustic if it's available and start strumming away. So the process always changes. It's never one and the same. I don't really meditate on it. I just kind of, if it pops up, which they do all day, every day, they pop up sometime in the most inconvenient times when I'm trying to focus on something else. I'll get this rush. And it's always a hook and it's always like, oh man, that's it. I gotta get this. So I'll sneak off somewhere if I'm not somewhere where I can grab an acoustic and I'll press play on my cell phone. I could be in the middle of the street. I could be, you know, in the middle of some conference or whatever. And I'll just start singing and I'll catch that idea. And if I'm really excited about it, you know, when I'm done doing what I'm doing, I immediately go back to my guitar and I'll start recording. And, you know, then once it's done, I send it off to the producers.
But even though you're saying that there's no set process that is consistent from song to song to song, do you find though that, well, I do usually start with lyrics first, or well, I usually do start with melody first, or actually they both always come to me at the same time, or is it even that varies also, Bruce?
That varies 100%. Sometimes I'll just be messing around with my guitar and I'll hit on something and I'm like, oh, that's cool. Let me string it together with this. And then the lyrics will come, right? Lyrics and melody usually kick off in my head first, because a lot of the times I'm not with my guitar and I can, you know, that's what hits me. And then I build off of that. So yeah, it does change depending on the situation, but okay. I would say 7 times out of 10, it's mostly lyrics and melody and then chords.
Okay. Your music is described as, quote, blending the heart of country with the rebellious spirit of rock and catchy pop hooks, end quote. As a result, I'm curious to learn who has inspired you the most.
Growing up, Rob Thomas was one of my favorite songwriters. And I remember as a kid listening to his early work when Push came out, and I was like, oh man, that's such an incredible sound. And that was such an iconic song for his career. But that sound, and I remember he was pretty innovative back then, where they, I think they added some mandolin and they were playing, like pop rock, and that was kind of, one of those things that was not common at all. And but he was a huge influence on my songwriting. If you want to fast forward to like more of a rock sound, I think that Aaron Lewis stands out as such an inspirational writer, and he's got such depth to his writing. And if you're going to kick it into the countryside, I really love Eric Church's direction with music and the way he blends rock and country together. So those three artists are probably my favorite writers to date.
Nice, nice. You actually record and release music solely under the name Kunzel. I assumed that that's simply your last name, or is there more to it, some meaning to it?
That is my last name. So the reason I chose Kunzel is because I was in recent discussions with some labels, and they were very interested in what I had going on. And we were in these meetings, and at the time it was, they were looking for a stage name. We were looking for, an image and what best suited the music. And we bounced back and forth. I had an idea in mind for another name and that could work, and they had something, something in mind. And then it finally, like, it just ended up where I was just tired. I was like, I don't want to fake this, this time around. I don't want to have a fake name or an image that doesn't represent myself. So yeah, I got offered a contract, which wasn't ideal for me at the time, and it's just no harm, no foul. Sometimes that happens. So I turned it down, and I said, I'm gonna do this my way. So I chose the name Kunzel, and I release my music now under Kunzel Records.
I'm joined today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from Nashville by singer, songwriter, guitar player Jeffrey Kunzel. In the intro, I mentioned the new music he has been releasing so far in 2026. Do find and follow him on Spotify, and of course, stream his music there. You will also find his music on the likes of YouTube and Apple Music, among other platforms. Engage with him on social media. You can find him both on Facebook as well as Instagram. Follow him on both of those. I talked earlier about wanting to meet listeners of this show in person. You might wonder, where would we meet? And I say, I don't know. We'll figure something out. Maybe a coffee shop. Until then, though, I ask you to consider buying me a virtual cup of coffee as a way of letting me know that you like the podcast and as a show of support for Now Hear This Entertainment. On my podcast website, nhte.net, there is a bright yellow Buy Me a Coffee button. Tap or click on that to be taken to that platform where you will also be able to post a message and I will write you back, just like you will see that guests and listeners have already done. This is not a sponsor, by the way. They are not paying me to talk about them, and I'm pretty sure they don't even know that I am. Instead, this is merely a method for us to further engage with one another. Check it out. Tap or click that Buy Me a Coffee button at nhte.net. Jeffrey, before you were telling us about your songwriting process, what it does and does not look like, how, though, has your sound evolved over time? What changes have you noticed in your music since you started?
Right. Well, when I first started writing, it was definitely a folk music country vibe. As I grew into my later years, I got into the Beatles, but then right from the Beatles, I started getting into like metal, heavy metal music when I was younger, and influenced heavily by Metallica at that time and Iron Maiden, bands of that genre. And it then that carried into the country theme. And once, it all kind of came full circle. So now I like came back into the folk country, but with more of a modern vibe to it. So I love to touch all aspects of music, and I don't care what it is, because if it moves me, I love it, right? It doesn't matter the genre. I'm well-rounded in different genres, and I love pop music. I love, I love rock. I love hard rock. And I love a lot of new music too. And some of these new bands coming out that I really jam with. And I just love all genres of music.
Well, but I have two follow-up questions though. So number one is just clarify the evolution that you noticed in your music. It sounds like you're saying that it happened organically, not that you made a conscious decision. Okay, I think I'm going to move away from this and I'm going to go into this now.
Yeah, it was absolutely organic. And like I said, that's the only way. I love all types of music, so I don't cut off certain sounds. It's kind of what fits the song, right? So if I'm writing a pop song, it's going to be a pop song. If I'm writing a country song, it's going to be a country song. And if I want to write like a traditional country song instead of a modern country song, that's what it's going to be. If it's going to be, something wild or some kind of experimental project, that's what it's going to be. As long as it moves people or moves me, that's what it's going to be at the time. It's not, there's no like chasing a genre for clout or anything like that. It's just wherever the song brings me at the time.
But I'm curious though, my other follow-up question is, have you ever had someone in the music business tell you, yeah, you really need to pick a lane and stick with it. You can't be all over the genre map like that. Or have you not encountered that at all?
Maybe once, a long, long time ago. And this is, I think back when we were doing the VH1 Save the Music shows, there was a manager that came in to see us, and they were talking to another manager I had with me, and they were going back and forth on that, like, oh, we don't know if we can sell this guy, he sounds like so and so, they should lean more towards this, nothing ever came of it. It was not a conversation that meant anything to me at the time, and it didn't unfold into anything. So yeah, I really haven't had anybody come up to me and say, hey, we're going to kick you out there, but you're going to have to stick with this kind of writing. So if that conversation ever comes up and they're looking at a certain type of branding and it makes sense for me, maybe we'll have that conversation. But as a writer, it's kind of a conflict of interest, I would say, right? Because I write all kinds of music.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I was thinking it's one thing to sit here and tell Bruce on a podcast, I feel strongly about this. No, I'm not going to change. It's another thing to be sitting with, an influential music industry person that has some really, really big opportunity for you. And then you do have to say, all right, maybe I need to think a little bit more about this decision.
Maybe I need to make a choice. Yeah. But at the end of the day, if they're pulling that decision from my music, it's still my music, right?
Yeah.
So if they hear something that I'm writing, it's still connected to me personally. So I won't take offense if that's where they're coming from. If it's an honest space for me and I can deal with that, then I'm okay with that. Let's have a conversation. If you think that's more like the business end of the music business, right? I mean, I know it happens day in and day out, and they try to find, the next package, best thing, and to shape it up and make it more marketable. But that's a part of the business end of it. I chose to release my music on my own, under my own terms right now. If that has to be negotiated for me to further my path, then that's a conversation down the road with somebody else that sees a liking in me or a vision. But right now it's just kind of however I feel. Whatever I feel, however I feel.
But on that note, now that I've taken out the crystal ball, I am interested to hear about your long-term goals as an artist. How do you envision your career continuing to evolve?
Yeah, right now, this is really exciting time. I'm getting some really good feedback. I just released a track called Let It Burn. It's been published now with 10 different magazines so far, independent magazines. It's really exciting for me. So I want to carry the torch right to the end. And that makes sense. This is not like a situation that, I'm just going to throw a couple songs out there. If it hits, whatever. I'm looking to make a sustainable career. And at the end of the tunnel, my goal in this life and in this world is to be able to help other musicians climb that ladder also. I wake up every day thinking about that, my road, my struggles, everything I've been through. And then with the experience I'm gaining now, the doors that have been opened for me and the doors that could potentially open to me in the future, I want to take that knowledge. I want to work with the best of the best in the industry. And I want to be able to help other artists reach the goals that they want to reach in their lives.
But do you want to be, are you aspiring, is the goal to be a national recording and touring artist?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So then let's go back to what you were just saying, because you have had quite a journey throughout your music career to this point already. So I do wonder then what advice you have now for aspiring musicians based on your experience as well as lessons you have learned along the way.
If you get the opportunities to work with the people that know this industry inside and out, show up authentic and stay humble and be willing to learn, all right? Be willing to take criticism and just genuinely be authentic. There's nothing worse than showing up cocky and unmanageable. People, what I've noticed in the business, everybody's really cool. You know, I haven't really met a whole lot of people that completely turned me off to date. So if you show up as one of those people that are turning other people off, you need to make a change. You need to make a change in how you communicate with people. There's a lot of very successful people in this business. And if that's your goal and that's what you want to achieve, just show up authentic and willing to accept advice and learn. Right? It's a very exciting business. It can make all your dreams come true, but it can be very frustrating if you try to continuously go against advice of your peers that have already been established. So that would be my advice.
An audience, Jeffrey and I did not set this up. It's just a very nice coincidence. If we had set it up, I would have said 2 days ago. Instead, I'm going to say a little over 2 weeks ago on Monday, June 8th, there was a blog published on the website, and appropriately enough, the title of the blog says, Why Audiences Crave Authenticity. So when you go to the show website, nhte.net, tap or click into the blog section and go look for that post from 2 weeks ago, from June 8th. But back to this advice, Jeffrey, for aspiring artists. I see a lot of musicians who are solo acts, and they're pining away to form a band. Since you have done both in reverse order, interestingly, can you provide some perspective, again, maybe some advice as it relates to some of the big differences between being a solo act versus in a band? I'm thinking perhaps some of the considerations that a solo act might not think of, they might not be aware of, because there's some obvious ones, but I think you're in a great position to weigh in on this, to show the big differences so that people can make an informed decision instead of, it would be so fun to have a band around me.
It depends on your band. When I was with my band, we were all growing up together. We all knew each other. So we were at a high school, and it was one of those situations where, like, yeah, we want to start a band. And I had all these songs, and my buddy's like, I'll learn how to play the bass. And, you know, my other buddy's like, I could play the guitar a little, right? So we went from that kind of really super organic experience, and we went through all of the emotional struggles and the arguments, and like a family, you know, like a really tight family, to eventually, you know, it all came to a head, and then we weren't a band anymore. And as a solo artist, I don't have that kind of struggle. There's so many super talented musicians, especially when you get into a city like Nashville. You walk down Main Street in Nashville, and all you hear is incredible music coming from every direction. You can hire those guys come and go out on tour with you, or if you're working with a label, they can suggest, you know, a band for you. And at that level, the professionalism is completely different. It's a business level. It's everybody has the same goal, the same mindset. Everybody is on board. This is what, you know, we need to do. And this is my job to make this music sound like this. And it's a completely different world. You know, once you strip away the adolescence part of it, and you jump into the business end of it and trying to showcase your music to the best of its capabilities, it changes your perspective on what you want to do. So you can try to start a band locally and carry that if you're young and you want to, you know, get your buddies in a room, and it'll give you the experience. It'll toughen you up. It'll put you out there, get your songs out there. Or if you do want to, you know, get some money together and head to a city like Nashville and start working with professionals right out of the gate and think that's your road, there'll be lessons, you know, to that as well. You'll have to learn how to deal with people on a professional level. And it might be an uncomfortable room for you, but that in itself will teach you to grow.
Well, and I will add, you know, that when I said before that there's some obvious differences, right? In a band, let's say there's five people in the band. Well, you're splitting the money five ways. You're dealing with five different people's schedules in terms of availability. Sorry to say, you're dealing with five different people's egos. There's also, as Jeffrey experienced, they start to age out. They start to form families. Somebody might get a job transfer, whatever the case is. And stability, keeping that band together. So there are a lot of great lessons to go through. But I think there's something interesting that I have seen developing in the music industry. And Jeffrey, I love that you brought this up, which is the fact that you might be a solo act, let's say in Nashville, and instead of, I got to form a band, it is very common nowadays to say, no, I'm just going to get some hired guns. They'll play with me for the show Friday night, and that's that. And maybe a month later, you get another big booking and you say, I need a band for this. And it might not even be the same players. So, you know, you're still able to be a solo act, but I love that you're still able to have a full band show.
That's absolutely true. And also, you have to remember that sometimes you hire these musicians and they do become your full-time band. If you all have that click and you want to keep this person in your world, I've seen that happen with some friends of mine too. So, you know, it's all circumstantial. Not everybody's in it for the money. You know, there's people out there that just can't live without music. So those are usually the people that are the most fun to be around, and they have the same goal in mind as you do. They just want to get out there, play music, have fun, and make a little bit of money and carry their career that way.
And I will throw in one downside to being a solo act versus a band is in this fictitious band of five members that I just made up a few minutes ago, there's five people promoting everything that you do. So you have five times as many chances to get awareness for your next gig, for your newest release, for the new video that you're putting out, as opposed to, okay, it's just me. You know, you might have a publicist, but I mean, I am a publicist, but I mean, I'm helping that artist promote themselves. So there's lots of considerations. It looks shiny and attractive from the outside, especially if you're young and you've just started out as a solo act. But take caution, make an informed decision. Heed the advice of the Jeffrey Kunzels of the world before you just jump into it and regret it 6 months later. Jeffrey, as we start to wind down, I mentioned back in the intro, I hinted at some new music. Just tell us about any upcoming projects. What can listeners expect from you in the near future?
So this year, I think the goal this year, well, right now, I want to plug my new hit, Let It Burn, the new track we have out. So that's really exciting. I have some really good support behind it. It's being pitched out there for some movies, and we're getting tons of playlist support, and that's really exciting for us. It's really driving, you know, the momentum right now for me. So I will add, though, that I am looking to release a ton of material over the next year. And I want your feedback. I want you to hook up with me on social media. You can catch me, you know, on Facebook and Instagram. And I want to know what you like, and I want to know what resonates with you. And if you're feeling a certain way or a different direction, but let me know. You know, I'm out there, and I'm looking forward to meeting everybody.
Nice. You and I were put together by David Longoria. He was the guest way back on episode 221. He is based in the Los Angeles area, and you've always been an East Coast guy. So I'm curious as to how the two of you came to know each other.
Social media is a crazy tool. I like to connect with a lot of people in the industry on social media. So I'll often, you know, request people in the industry to get my network out there. It's all about networking, right? And we have a mutual friend that I was talking to, and his name is Leon, and he put me in touch with David because I just ended up sending him, you know, some of my information and some of my music, and told him I was, you know, I was interested in the Grammys, and he was a voting member and a Grammy member, a winner himself, and we had some really great conversations, and over time there was I think it was more of a trust that he saw something in me and wanted to help me out. So he talked to David Longoria, and I guess they had their conversations running, and Leon got back to me, and he said I want you to call David, he wants to talk to you. And I called David immediately, and we got to talking, and David has been driving this train for me on social media and with Spotify, and and he really he's trying to promote and help me out. And that's when you meet somebody like that, it's a huge opportunity, right? And when people are willing to do that for you,
no doubt,
and it says something.
Yeah, fantastic. And audience, I will put a link on the show page for Jeffrey's episode on my podcast website, nhte.net, to the episode with David Longoria, so you can go back and listen to my conversation with him. We are going to close today with another one of Jeffrey's original songs. He's mentioned it a couple times throughout our conversation. It's called Let It Burn, and it's the release from 2 months ago. Jeffrey, before I let you go and we play that track, share with us first all about this one, if you would, please.
All right. Again, this is another track that was demoed probably almost a decade ago.
Mm.
And I got hooked up with a writer by the name of Corey Mayo, brilliant guy, brilliant writer. And that was my very first co-write. And what transitioned from me being in the room with him was this song. The relationship still remains to date. And we didn't have much even to the song when we stepped out of the room. I eventually took it back home and finished it up.
Mm.
I think we got like the first couple lines, and we had that. It was at its core. It was like raw, right? It ain't got no money, got the shirt on my back. So it was like, all right, so it's coming from a place of you're down. So when I took it, I was like, I'm going to send this thing to the roof. So I started writing. I had some guitar riffs that I was working on at the time. And I ended up sending him the demo at the time, and he liked it. He's like, yeah. And he had some other ideas for production. So just recently, before I was ready to release it, I sent it back to the then producer who did the original demo, Ron Geffen. And I said, dude, I need you to remix this. I want to release it now. It's ready. And we went back and forth with mix ideas, and I sent it out there, and it's getting such a overwhelming response of positivity. Like the energy around the song is incredible. I don't think I've actually ever released a song in the past that I've gotten such a response on.
Mm.
So just an incredible ride for me. You know, that's as a writer and an artist, you want to, that's that electric energy that you want to feel, and that'll drive you into your next moment. You know, just keep going. Don't quit.
Yeah.
The whole song is based on adversity and where you're going to take it. You know, just keep going, keep writing, put your song out there, get it in front of people, you know, and have faith in yourself. You have faith in yourself, you can't go wrong, because you can learn everything else along the way. If you have that natural talent and that writer's talent, and you're a musician, and you can make your guitar, you know, scream or cry, or you can make people feel your music, keep going. There is a lane for you. You have a voice. There's a spot for you, and people want to hear you. Everybody's looking for that next emotion, that next feeling. So, yeah, that's basically what I have about Let It Burn, and I love it.
And not that we typically find ourselves closing on a downer note, but thank you for all that inspiration you just provided to allow us to close on a high. Jeffrey, thank you so much for making time to be on Now Hear This Entertainment. Congratulations on these releases that you've already put out in 2026, and we'll be excited to see what's ahead. I really appreciate you being on the show today.
Bruce, thank you so much for having me, man. I'm super excited, and just the opportunity to sit here with you and talk like this makes it all the more fantastic. Have a great day.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. And audience, with that, I will wrap up another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment. My sincere thanks to singer, songwriter, guitar player Jeffrey Kunzel. You heard him today talking about the new music he has released here in the first half of 2026. Find and follow him on Spotify, and then do stream his music there, of course. Remember that you can also find his original music on the likes of YouTube and Apple Music, among other platforms. Engage with him on social media. He is on both Facebook and Instagram, so do be sure to give him a follow on each of those. For that matter, tell him you heard him and his music on Now Hear This Entertainment. That will do it for episode 645. Thanks ever so much for listening. I will send you out today with another song from Jeffrey Kunzel. This is the one he just talked about. It's called Let It Burn.
Ain't got no money, got the shirt on my back. Well, ain't it for the life, can't leave you flat. I'm getting on, I'm getting back everything that slipped away. My heart is pounding, beating like a drum. I'm on to something, gotta get it done. I'm getting on, I'm getting back everything that slipped away from me. My song strong, perfect melody with a big old backbone. Gotta get them girls screaming, gotta get the DJ playing my song up on the station. We light it up, let it burn. Gotta get my riding on, gotta get my song strong, perfect melody with a big old backbone. Gotta get them girls dancing, gotta get the DJ playing my song up on the station. Watch it climb the track. Dreamers, straight believers, underachievers, all you better.